Hi, this is Pastor Bob, and this is Life with Pastor Bob, a weekly radio show where we're going to bring you closer to God and hopefully God closer to you. We want to bring some life to your life with some inspiration, maybe some thoughts, and maybe a few words of counsel. I'm the pastor of Christian Life Church in Rehoboth, Massachusetts, which is right here in the middle of this community. Our church is located right on Route 118, about 3 miles north of the Swansea Mall. And if you can get to the mall, you can find our church. Just don't go to the mall and keep going for 3 miles and you'll find us. But we're here to encourage you. And the reason why we're called Christian Life Church is because Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you would have that life more abundantly. And so we want you to have some of that life, and that's what we're here to do today. I thought I'd take this broadcast to talk about the attitude of gratitude. And one of the things that affects our life for the positive is our attitude. And when we have a thankful attitude, that's a good thing. Let me just say something to the city and to the cities around us. Do you know what? When cities do well, the people will do well. And the city needs good leadership. It needs good people. And you know what? I hope that you are in a good church with a can-do spirit and a thankful spirit. Because when you have a can-do spirit and a thankful spirit, it changes the personality of that church. And love should be at the forefront of your thinking and your mindset, especially this time of year. If you're just tuning in, this is Life with Pastor Bob, and I'm your host, Bob Bernier, and you're listening on WSAR. Before I go any further, if you want to contact us, you can actually tune in, tell your friends and family, tune in to WSAR.com. You can actually listen to this radio broadcast live on radio, and you could tell your families who are out of town, if they want to hear a good Fall River accent, call in, and not call in, but dial in and listen to some of these guys here. And I've gotten to meet some of these hosts and jockeys, and they're great people. And so on that note, I want to thank the management and the staff here at WSAR because they've made my transition to this foam-covered microphone a lot easier. And I'd also like to thank some of the people from the church who have helped to support this program. So, again, on that note, I'd like to talk about thanks and the attitude of gratitude. You know, let me just say this. Over the last few years, I've noticed that there is a kind of a stripping down of the original root meanings of our holidays. Have you noticed that? Christmas has become a winter holiday. We have to say season's greetings. We can't say Merry Christmas. And Thanksgiving lately, I hear a lot of people say Happy Turkey Day. If there is the giving of thanks, it's, you know, a few minutes before the meal. Maybe it's silent. But here's the thing. Who are you thankful? Who are you going to be thankful to? Who are you thankful to? One of the things about society is that every society has roots. I'm thankful for my roots. Recently, I read an article by one of our local journalists talking about how here in the city of Fall River or in our region, the neighborhoods that he used to walk when he was a kid, you don't hear the same sounds you would have heard 40 years ago, 50 years ago, or longer. That generation has moved on, and now you hear hip-hop music, and you hear Latino sounds, and you'll hear the sounds of Southeast Asia. You'll hear many different ethnic groups. Well, those ethnic groups bring their traditions. Well, Thanksgiving was a tradition, and we tend to associate Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims, but the reality is that Thanksgiving went far, was something that was was experienced many, many centuries before. It was something that God even commanded his children to thank. It was a holiday associated with the harvest. You know, I'm a sentimental guy, and I think about the past, and I'm sometimes thankful for the things that I've experienced. And I remember as a young boy, you know, my father telling me that, you know, I needed to walk everywhere when I asked him for a ride. And I know that times were different, and I know that he probably walked from one end of the city to the other and hitched rides on cable cars or something. But you know what? I'm thankful for that heritage because I can tell my children. And when you tell your children, guess what? They end up with a history that is not just limited to their life. Their history goes way back to their parents and grandparents, and some of those values are passed on from generation to generation. You know, in the city like ours, some of the family meat markets and, you know, grocery stores are closed, and now you just go to box stores. You know, if I needed hardware, I used to go to a local neighborhood hardware store. If I needed bologna, I went to a local family grocery mart, combination deli butcher shop. It smelled of hamburger. You know, the guy behind the counter had a bloody apron, and if you needed a steak, he'd cut it for you right there. Nothing was prepackaged. Today, if I need bologna, I have to go to some sort of fast quick mart place, which is okay. I'm glad that we have them. But have you ever tried to open those packages of bologna? It's impossible. You need a pair of pliers and maybe some dynamite. I can just imagine if you're sitting there with arthritis, my goodness, you need a pair of scissors and sharp knives. I don't know how you get it out. But I think back about those things, and I remember those things, and I thank God for those things. My family had roots maybe in the Fall River area. My family has probably been here for 120 years or so, maybe 140 years prior to that, maybe 200 years in Quebec. Prior to that, maybe, who knows, somewhere in France for many, many years in one region. All I know about our family is we don't move very much. We don't disperse very much. But family time, the time that we share as family, I'm very grateful for. And it's, for me, those holidays are more than just an opportunity to just thank God for a meal, but to thank God for the richness of all of that blessing that I've received. You know, Thanksgiving is about giving thanks to God. And like I said, Thanksgiving was common in Europe long before the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims actually brought that practice here. And after you took in your harvest, you would thank God for that harvest. You know, today, you know what? I had a pile of wood delivered to my yard, and I just wanted to get a good portion of that in the garage so it could stay dry. You know, when I was done, I just said, phew, you know, that was just a great thing that I got it in. Well, think about the farmer. The farmer had to think the same way. The farmer had to get his harvest in, and when he got that harvest in, he was thankful. He was thankful that he received it. He was thankful at the weather that gave him something to harvest, to grow, and he was thankful when he got it in, and he was thankful when he could enjoy it for the rest of the year. Our job is to simply give thanks. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time, or what have you taken the time to thank God for what you have received? You know, maybe you're not close to the food the way the farmers were, or those first Pilgrims were here in Massachusetts. Maybe you just take it for granted that there are going to be carrots and celery and bread stuffing and turkeys at the grocery market. Maybe your food comes from Guatemala. Maybe your bananas from India. I just saw a report on the news yesterday. I think it was CBS News. They said that some of our processed chicken comes from China, or could come from China. You know, maybe the grocery store that you go to is owned by a conglomerate that their parent company is in Northern Europe. You know what? We're not thankful that all of these mechanisms are in place for our benefit. I'm so glad we do. You know, one year, you know, I'm the guy that does all the cooking in our family for Thanksgiving. My wife does all the preparation. She does all of the hors d'oeuvres and the snacks. She volunteers happily for the cleanup. But when it comes time to preparing, I'm the guy stirring and sautéing and baking and doing all of that. And so it's usually my job to go do the shopping to get everything. And I promised my wife I wouldn't talk about her, but that would be my job. And so I go, and one year I went to the big store, and, you know, they had a few wilted celery, maybe a couple of bunches of carrots, one bag of potatoes, and then I ended up going to a small family market, and guess what? They had everything I needed. Well, guess what? I was thankful. I was grateful. But here's what's happened today. We have grown into such a secular society that we're kind of afraid to just say, God, thank you for what you do. And you know what? We don't know how to express our thanks. In fact, we're supposed to give the thanks. Wherever it's deserved, we are supposed to give thanks. You know, sometimes there's nothing else you could do for somebody who does something nice for you except to say thank you. See, gratitude comes from the heart. Maybe your parents taught you how to say thank you. When I used to go to the bank, I'd go through that, you go through the drive-through, and the lady would see the kids in the back seat of the car. She'd always give us a couple of lollipops for the kids. What would we say? We'd say to the kids, say thank you. Well, some people are taught to be thankful, and others today simply are not. Maybe you're listening by the radio and you're saying, this is just common sense, Pastor Bob. You know what? Not really. There are a lot of people today that have never been taught to be grateful. If you have a harvest, you're grateful. If you've been given some sort of blessing, you should be grateful. If you have a job today, you should be grateful. If you have supply, even if it's support, even if it's government support, be grateful for what you have. Some people couldn't care less where or how to express thanks. But you know what? When you believe in God, you can simply thank Him. Let me share with you a scripture from the Psalms. When I was a kid, I used to call it the Psalms because I didn't know that the P was silent. But the Psalms were actually songs. And one of the things that that is expressed is the instruction to be thankful as we approach God. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. See, you would approach the courtyard of the temple. This is not the court of the king, although I guess you can imagine it as the court of the king. As you approached his house, you were to approach with thankfulness, with a song of thankfulness, and a song of praise. Well, when we approach God, we should approach the same way. One of our goals of this program is simply to bring you closer to God and to bring God closer to you. Well, you know what? It's very simple. As you approach Him, thank Him before you even ask Him. You know, when I go to someone's house, I thank him for his invitation. Thank you for inviting me. While I'm there, I can make a couple of nice comments about his house and how nicely it's decorated. But before I leave, I can say thank you for the meal. Thank you for your hospitality. You know what? If his dog was well behaved, compliment his dog. But you know what? I am reminded of, you know, people who have dogs that think they're lap dogs, but they weigh about 100 pounds, and you sit down and they jump on top of you. At least I can say, well, at least your dog is friendly. By the way, if you get that kind of dog, train your dog not to jump on people. Listen, I don't want to face God one day and say I never thanked him for what he's given me. Now, I'm thinking about you. You're listening to this broadcast. I don't know if you're listening in your car. I don't know if you're listening at work. You might be listening in your apartment, or you might be listening on WSAR.com. And you might be in Florida, or you might be in Canada somewhere, or across the nation, listening on a computer. Wherever you are, I don't know what your condition is. I don't know whether you're poor or rich. But in whatever station you are in life, you're to be content as best you can and thank God for what you have. You can thank him for your children, your parents, your heritage, your neighbor, your job, maybe the weather, but find something to be thankful for. You know, as you celebrate your Thanksgiving meal, for some people, it's a rich remembrance of how historical the date is. For others, it's just, thanks for the meal, let's eat. Irma Bombeck, the great humorist writer, said that it took 12 hours to prepare a Thanksgiving meal, and it took 12 minutes to eat it. And she also made the very comical note that it took about 12 minutes for the halftime of the ball game as well. And you know, sometimes that's what you do. You go there, you say thank you, you eat like a horse, and then you fall asleep. You know what? Thanksgiving is the giving away of your gratitude to somebody else. Maybe today is a challenge for you to even get your feet out of the bed and put it on the ground, one foot in front of you. Maybe you need to be grateful that you do have a job that pays the bills. You know what? It might only be 60% of what you want to do with your work life. But you know what? You're able to tolerate it because it pays the bills and it provides for your children. And you can take joy in the fact that your children have something to put on and they have a place to sleep. and have something to eat. You can thank God that that job that isn't the perfect job is enough to pay the bills. Some of you have challenges that are truly hardships, but along the way, maybe you had a little help. Maybe someone let 1 month slide in your rent. You know what? I've had landlords let me get caught up when I was out of work, and they let me pay back a little bit at a time when I got on my feet. You could be thankful for that. You know, Paul, the apostle, wrote a good portion of the New Testament when he was in jail. He couldn't go and visit the churches, so guess what he did? He wrote his letters to churches from jail. How many people take the challenges and the trials they face and turn it into thanksgiving from God? Listen, there's something you could do today. You could probably put a little bit of money in a Salvation Army kettle, or maybe you can make a donation to the Good Neighbor Energy Fund, or maybe you can help the Red Cross or other disaster prepared, you know, types of programs that can help the people in the Philippines or in any other, you know, good ministry that would help others in need. Or maybe you could just help someone at church collect enough money or some food to give some Thanksgiving baskets to a needy family. Let's say they receive that help. And when they receive that help, they say thank you to God. You know what Paul said? Your generosity results in thanksgivings being given to God. What you do can sometimes affect others in a positive way. You know, last week and the week before, I talked about not worrying and not worrying about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. But you know what? Some extended families, you worry. And maybe for different reasons, you might have some difficulty at Thanksgiving. But you know what? You can still be thankful to God. Colossians, here's another scripture. It was the church in Colossae, so it's called the Colossian Epistle. Chapter 3, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. He was telling the church, listen, you're just one. You're one body, but be thankful. You know what? We meet at our church, we worship together, we greet one another, we shake hands, we might hug each other, but we pray for one another, we listen to some good teaching. Hopefully it's good when I'm teaching, but you know what? We meditate about those things we have, and we're thankful. You know, God gave us a son that we might be thankful for him. You know what? I have right here in the studio, I have a couple of proclamations, one by Abraham Lincoln, one by George Washington. I thought maybe before I close, I'd like to just read a couple of things that they wrote some years ago. In October of 1789, George Washington, and I'm just reading an excerpt from his proclamation, and you can find this online. These things are available. It says, whereas, this is quote, George Washington, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection and favor. You know, what happened to George Washington is that the both houses of Congress came together and asked George Washington, recommended that he proclaim a day of thanksgiving for the nation. And about 75 years later, in October of 1863, Abraham Lincoln standardized it and made it all in one day. Different states had different practices. And one lady who was 74 years old, a woman by the name of Sarah Josepha Hale, a 74-year-old magazine editor, wrote him a letter and said, you know what? And let me just say it in short. She just said, you got to make this standard. And, you know, she wrote a letter for about 14 or 15 years to every president before him. But when Lincoln took it, he acted on it right away. And then he wrote a proclamation. And again, you can find these. I'll read a couple of things in the next. I've only got a couple of minutes left with you today. But listen to this. This is by the President of the United States, 1863, 150 years ago, last month. The year that is drawing towards close. Now, keep this in mind. This is during the Civil War conflict. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of God. In the midst of civil war, Abraham Lincoln found that he could be thankful for what God gave. So, let's just think about this before we close. Gratitude is a feeling of thankfulness and appreciation. Ingratitude is the incapability or the failure to be grateful or thankful. Serve the Lord with gladness, it says. You know what? A couple of other things that you could take away from this. You don't have to have it all together to be thankful. George Washington was thankful. The nation was thankful when it was just starting. You might just be starting out. You might be a young couple just starting out. You might just be starting work and things aren't going well. You might have challenges on every side. But you know what? You can still be thankful for you. Thank you. Thank God that you had two phone calls instead of none. It may not have been 10 the way you wanted, but you had two phone calls. When George Washington made his proclamation, the country was just starting. You know what? You could be in the middle of a great trial. Here's one other thing you can take away. It doesn't matter what you're going through. If you're going through it like Abraham Lincoln was, you could still be thankful for what you have. Here's one more thing. It takes a great person to be thankful, even when things aren't going well. The other thing is, one more thing to take away. The more you give thanks, the more full of thankfulness you become. Gratitude begets more gratitude. It replenishes itself. Gratefulness replenishes itself. Give thanks to God, for He is good. Next time you go to church, by the way, maybe it's the first time you go to church. If you go to church, be thankful. Show up in that parking lot or walk down that sidewalk with an attitude of gratefulness. Before you sit or kneel or stand in that church, be thankful for who He is and what He does. Even in times of trial, be thankful. That being said, I just thank you for hosting me today and listening to me. I've got a couple of things I just want to invite you to. December, the very first Sunday of December at our church, we'll be hosting the men's choir from Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge has been around for a good 50 years. It was started when one man said, you know what, I want to reach some of the gangs in New York City. And as a result, he has an international, became an international ministry, helping people recover for years and years now. We're going to host a team from Teen Challenge in Bridgewater. They're going to come down. They're going to be singing some songs and sharing some testimonies with us at the church. Our service is at 9:30 on Sunday morning. You're welcome to come. Bring a friend. You know what? If you're recovering from alcohol, you might enjoy meeting some of these guys. These guys are These are not just street people. They're not gang people. Some of them have been CEOs who submitted to a program to just get out of that addictive lifestyle. And so come and join with us on December 1st. You've been listening to Pastor Bob, and this is Life with Pastor Bob. Again, we want to bring you closer to God, and hopefully God's going to come closer to you. Now, listen, if you want to contact us, you can contact us at www.clcrehoboth.com. You can look me up on Facebook, and you can always listen right here on WSAR.com radio. It's live. It's 1480 on the AM dial. They say that's important. I say that because otherwise you might go to some other station. We don't want you to go to another station. We want you to go to WSAR AM 1480 right here in southern New England, Bristol County, my neck of the woods. May God bless you and may He keep you till we meet again. God's peace. Thank you.